Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Great to see everyone here tonight. Trust you had a great week and looking forward to a good time of worship together. Let's begin with a word of prayer, or several words. Father, thank you so much that we can come and be together and celebrate Jesus. Celebrate you being active in the world, being active in our lives, being present. So it's your presence that we seek today. We know that you are here intellectually because you promised that when we gather in the name of Jesus, you're here. But I pray that we will experience you with our senses, with our sense of hearing and taste and smell and speaking, and just have a very clear, intimate time with you tonight. Holy Spirit, we just offer ourselves to you and this evening to you, inviting you to have your way, and praying, asking that you would show us the Father in fresh ways. May the presence of Jesus so permeate this place that we can't deny that when we leave here, we've been in the presence of the Lord and we're changed. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. I think that might be what Peter was trying to tell us a couple weeks ago when he said life is so empty without Jesus. We're desperate for him. We're lost without him. Good words, good songs, Jeremy. Thank you. Who has a testimony you'd like to share tonight? I'm thankful to be here standing on 2 feet, even though there's some discomfort connected with it. I was doing a job yesterday, putting a new stove in a house, and got it in fine. And then I had planks from the back of my pickup to the landing outside the door of this house. And when I walked back out to the truck to get the last part of the stove, one of the planks slid forward and dropped down the height of the step, 6 or 8 inches, not all that far. But in the process, my foot went down, my left foot went down, and I strained something in the back of my thigh, and it's very painful. It isn't continually painful. It's been better today than it was yesterday. So I'm thankful for that. But I praise the Lord that I'm as good as I am. Didn't have to go to a doctor or anything. Yeah, don't believe I will. Now, if I was Jeff, I'd have finished the marathon I had started, even though I was only 2 steps into it. But I wasn't Jeff. I went home and took it easy the rest of the evening as soon as I could. So, someone else. So if you see me limping around a little bit, you'll know it's not old age has set in. I don't think. But I remember what I did. Well, let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. Lydia or Renee, what would you like to pass the basket for me tonight. Thank you. Amen. Good word. Let's do a children's story.
Nope.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Did you have a fun week?
Yeah, yeah. I went fishing today.
You went fishing today?
Lucky. Okay. Only caught a catfish.
Only caught a catfish. One catfish. The only fish caught on the whole boat. How many people were on the boat? Four people on the boat. You didn't go fishing with me, did you? Did you ever go fishing with me and only catch one fish? You didn't go to my spot.
The boat was too big.
Boat was too big. So the moral of that story is always go fishing with Granddad. Okay, well, that's not my children's story, but that's a good lesson. Ready to go fishing with Canada?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have a story that, thank you, that I'd like to read to you. And what if you received this envelope? Sally looked at the envelope again. There was no stamp, no postmark, only her name and address. She read the letter one more time. Dear Sally, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Saturday afternoon, and I'd like to stop by for a visit. Love always, Jesus. Whoa. What if you got a letter from Jesus with your name on it, said, Dear Renee, or Dear Anna, or Dear Lydia, or Dear Isaiah, or Dear Josiah, or Dear whatever your name is. I'm going to be in the neighborhood Saturday, and I'd like to stop by for a visit. What do you think you'd feel? Would you be scared? Be surprised. That's a good way to be.
Surprised and excited.
And excited. Yeah. Do you think you'd just, Saturday, you'd get up late and just dressed in casual clothes, that, you know, torn jeans or t-shirt or flip-flops, and maybe not even bother combing and brushing your hair that day? Just, you think that's how you'd react? No, it'd be a special visitor, wouldn't it? You'd get up early, make sure the house is clean, make sure that you're clean. Maybe we're... get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you'd make, maybe wear your Sunday best and your best shoes and everything. And then, well, let's look at what Sally did. Her hands were shaking as she placed the letter on the table. Why would the Lord want to visit me? I'm nobody special. I don't have anything to offer. With that thought, Sally remembered her empty kitchen cabinets and refrigerator. Oh my goodness, I really don't have anything to offer. I'll have to run down to the store and buy something for dinner. She reached for her purse and counted out its contents. $7.40. Well, I can get some bread and cold cuts at least. She threw on her coat and hurried out the door. A loaf of French bread, a half pound of sliced turkey, and a carton of milk, leaving Ruth with a grand total of 12 cents to last her until Monday. Nonetheless, she felt satisfied as she headed home. Her meager offerings tucked under her arm. "Hey, lady, can you help us, lady?" Ruth had been so Sally had been so absorbed in her dinner plans. Because we have a Ruth, I was trying to change the name of the person. So I apologize, Ruth, for making it your name, but it's effective. It could have been Carla, or it could have been Janelle, or it could have been Eliza, or any of us. But I'm sorry. So we're back to Sally. "Look, lady. Hey, lady, can you help us, lady?" Sally had been so absorbed in her dinner plans, she hadn't even noticed two figures huddled in the doorway, in the alleyway, a man and a woman, both of them dressed in little more than rags. "Look, lady, I ain't got a job, you know, and my wife and I have been living out here on the street, and well, now it's getting cold, and we're getting kind of hungry, and well, if you could help us, lady, we'd really appreciate it." Sally looked at them both. They were dirty. They smelled bad. And frankly, she was certain that they could get some kind of work if they really wanted to. "Sir, I'd like to help you, but I'm a poor woman myself. All I have is a few cold cuts and some bread. And I'm having an important guest for dinner tonight, and I was planning on serving that to him." "Yeah, well, okay, lady, I understand. Thanks anyway." The man put his arm around the woman's shoulders, turned, and headed back into the alley. As she watched them leave, Sally felt a familiar twinge in her heart. "Sir, wait!" The couple stopped and turned as she ran down the alley after them. "Look, why don't you take this food? I'll figure out something else to serve my guests." She handed the man her grocery bag. "Thank you, lady. Thank you very much." "Yes, thank you." It was the man's wife. And Ruth could see now that she was... But Sally could see now that she was shivering. I'm sorry, get into the story. "You know, I've got another coat at home. Here, why don't you take this one?" Sally unbuttoned her jacket and slipped it over the woman's shoulders. Then, smiling, she turned and walked back to the street without her coat and with nothing to serve her guest. "Thank you, lady. Thank you very much." Sally was chilled by the time she reached her front door and worried too. The Lord was coming to visit and she didn't have anything to offer him. She fumbled through her purse for the door key, but as she did, she noticed another envelope in her mailbox. "That's odd. The mailman doesn't come twice in one day." She took the envelope out of the box and opened it. "Dear Sally, it was so good to see you again. Thank you for the lovely meal. And thank you too for the beautiful coat. Love always, Jesus." The air was still cold, but even without her coat, Sally no longer noticed. It's a Bible verse in Hebrews 13. It's verse 2. It says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers." You know what hospitality is? Don't know how to explain it. I understand. You've read the word, heard the word. Hospitality means that you're a gracious host, you welcome people, you share what you have, Okay, that's what chasba opens. So don't forget to be kind and generous to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And Sally showed kindness to who?
Jesus,
without knowing it. Jesus said, when you've done it to one of the least of these, meaning to any other person, you've done it to me. So she shared the meal with homeless people, and it was like sharing it with Jesus. Okay? So we don't always recognize Jesus when he's with us, but let's be looking for him. He rose, he's alive, so he could show up anytime. And angels could show up anytime. And so we want to be generous, we want to be kind to other people. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for coming and sending angels even. I pray for these children that they'll be generous people, that they'll be kind to people they don't even know, and certainly to people they do know, and that they'll see you when you come. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I apologize for not having a presentation to put up here. I ran into technical difficulties when I was putting it together this afternoon. I guess the moral of the story for me is I should start earlier in the week and not wait until Sunday afternoon, unless I know Jeremy is going to be with me at 3 in the afternoon to bail me out, which he was not today. And so if you have your Bibles with me, or if you have with you, or if you have your phone app with a Bible on it, I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, we're going to start at verse 1. We're not going to spend much time at all on the first 12 verses, because we did that a couple weeks ago on Easter Sunday morning, or Easter Sunday evening, and it's the story of Easter Sunday morning. So I want us to look at some of the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. And this evening, we're going to be looking at the road to Emmaus, but we'll get the background to what led to that visit with Jesus. Pardon me. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Okay, so Jesus had told them that he was going to die, that he was going to be buried, and that on the third day he would rise again. And as good followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, his teaching went in one ear and right out the other. They didn't understand what he meant. It was plain Aramaic, the language they spoke at the time. We would say it was plain English, but they didn't understand it. Okay. So they went to the tomb looking for Jesus. And they said, the angels said, why do you look for the living among the dead? Where do we go to look for Jesus? How do we see these stories in the Bible? Are they dead stories? Are they just flat, just stories? Or are they alive? Are they true? Did they actually happen? Does it make a difference in my life today? If it doesn't, why are we even here? But if it does, that changes everything. Now life is worth living. Now being a Christian is something. And so I'm here to say that these stories happen, that the women actually went to the tomb on that first Easter morning looking for the body of Jesus to prepare it for burial properly, as good Jewish people would. And instead, they found an empty tomb with empty grave clothes folded up and lying where Jesus had laid. And the angels telling them that he's not here, but he has risen. Well, when they came back from the tomb, these women told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. So the 11 would be the 11 disciples that are left. Remember, Judas betrayed Jesus and then went out and hung himself. So Judas is no longer one of the 12. There's just 11 of them left. So the 11, and there were apparently other people there as well, but we don't have names, and these women. Now, when I thought of this story, I always think, okay, a couple Marys went and a Joanna. There were maybe three women that went to the tomb to see what was going on. But listen to this description. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So there were a number of women. We don't know the number, but it was more than three. And it said others that were with them. So it had to be at least five, because the others is plural. And it could have been 10 or 20. Yeah, we just don't know how many it was. But these women went to the tomb, they saw the angels, they came back, they told the disciples, but they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Have you ever had people tell you an unbelievable story? Sure we have. And on a rare occasion, it's actually been true. And that's strange because it's hard to believe. And if somebody went to a tomb and said, came back and said, well, we got there, but it was empty. You know, the coffin was there and the cover from the coffin and the clothes of the person that they were buried in was there, but the body was gone. And there were two men dressed in clothes that shone like lightning. Must have been angels talk to us and ask us, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen, as he said. I mean, how would you believe that story? I can kind of understand why they were confused, especially if what Jesus said went in one ear and out the other, and they didn't believe it. Okay? So Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. What had happened? Now, here's what I want us to look at. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. So here's the story. Here's the situation. Two folks that had experienced this, that were with the disciples, that the women came back and told, then Peter went and came. Two of them left the group, going back to home to Emmaus, confused, just talking about it, trying to figure out what has gone on, what has happened. And while they're walking along, some stranger comes up and joins them, walking along with them. At least seemed to be a stranger to them. They didn't know that it was Jesus. They didn't know that it was their Savior and Lord, that it was their best friend, that it was the one that they had loved and listened to every word and watched do healings for years. It was just some stranger. I wonder how often we've been in the presence of the Lord and didn't know. Jesus was there, and we missed it. Maybe it was like Sally in the story. We didn't recognize him, because he didn't look the way we thought he should look. Wasn't dressed the way we thought he should be dressed. You know, I believe every Christian is looking forward to the second coming of Christ, and we've heard so many ideas about how it's going to be and what's going to happen and what it's going to be like when it does happen. And I'm afraid that some of us, if not all of us, are so set on how it's going to be that when it actually happens and it's different than what we thought it was going to be, we're going to miss it. Let's not miss seeing Jesus when he comes. Let's just be open to Jesus being here and welcome him when he comes, as he comes. Whether it's this evening in this service somehow, and I've been in services where God showed up and there's just a holy hush comes and there's just a sense of majesty in the room and it just gets quiet. You can hear a pin drop. Sometimes I was leading that service. Sometimes I was like you, sitting in a chair. It wasn't always while the preacher was preaching. Sometimes it was the music. But when Jesus shows up, it's a powerful experience. So he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" You think he didn't know? But you know, I think God asks us things sometimes to get us to be honest and to get us to recognize where we are and what we're about. So they stood still, their faces downcast. I mean, they're sad. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "Of course he knows what those things were. He was in the middle of it. It was all about him. He didn't miss it, but he
he wanted to hear what they had to say.
About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. See, they had their picture of what the Messiah was going to be like. He was going to redeem Israel, not the world. Israel. He was going to restore Israel to its glory that it had under David and Solomon, not save the world, not be the savior of their soul. It was a political victory. It was political freedom that they were looking for. And they had this picture of what the Messiah was going to be like when he came. And when he came, they missed him. Let's not be like those people. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Well, hello. If the women's story is right, and they went to the tomb and they found Jesus in the tomb, no. They should have expected to see an empty tomb when the women told them it was empty and that they'd been told that Jesus was alive. Live people don't stay in tombs. Only the demoniac lived among the graves in the scripture. And that wasn't Jesus. And so they were confused. They didn't know what was going on. So Jesus said to them, you know, Jesus is always so politically correct and so careful not to offend anyone with his language. Jesus said to them, how foolish you are. And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So you're foolish and dim-witted and slow. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. That's a sermon I would have loved to hear. And I'd be happy to hear it now. So Jesus, you're welcome to show up and preach it. You can do it in my sleep tonight. I don't care. Wake me up. Because from Moses, that's from Genesis. The books of Moses are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know, if you want some good devotional reading, you don't usually go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy, especially Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Leviticus has some good stuff. Deuteronomy? Anyway, he started there and went through the prophets and the Psalms, books of history, through the Old Testament, and showed them the scriptures that concerned the Messiah, that concerned Jesus. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. Now, this is a 7-mile walk. So there's, in my mind, a good bit of time here. Jesus might have met them shortly outside of Jerusalem and had most of the whole 7 miles with them. Or he might have picked him up at the 6-mile marker. I don't know where. But he had time to preach this sermon. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. They were being hospitable to a stranger. And they were doing what a good Christian should do. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They ask each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Wasn't there something special going on while we were with this man? Shouldn't we have known it was the Lord?" I've looked back in my life at times and said, "Oh yeah, the Lord was there. How did I miss it?" But watch for those things. Watch for those times. Don't miss them. Welcome the Lord when he comes. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Okay, so they had walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles, and it was supper time. And they met with Jesus, they gave him food, he broke the bread, blessed it, and they recognized Jesus, he left. They were amazed. They got up, went 7 miles back to Jerusalem. That's quite a hike. Or run, or jog. But they were energized by the presence of the Lord. When we meet the Lord, when we recognize him in our presence, it's exciting. And it's invigorating, and it's life-giving, it's life changes. You can't meet the Lord and be changed. I read a book on prayer, and the author was saying, he was a pastor, and he said, he gets frustrated when people ask him to have a little prayer at a gathering. "Pastor, would you have a little prayer for us?" He says, "A little prayer? There's no such thing as a little prayer." When you pray, you're coming into the presence of the Lord. You're coming into the presence of majesty and the King of Kings, the Lord of the universe. You're coming into his presence, and you can't go into his presence and not be changed. So there's no such thing as a little prayer. And that stayed with me more than 30 years. I read that in Oregon. But we need to remember that. When we come into the presence of the Lord, we're going to be changed. We're going to be invigorated. We're going to be full of life. We're going to be full of enthusiasm. We're not going to be able to contain it. We've got to get back and tell our friends or strangers. And so they hustled back to Jerusalem. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There, they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So they saw and they believed. And when we see Jesus, we have to believe. It's that life-changing. While they were still talking about this,
Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. These people just don't get it, do they? The women had been to have the testimony. Now they had two people that had eaten with Jesus, and they came back and said, "He's alive. We've got him." Now Jesus shows up, says, "Peace be with you," and oh, it's a ghost. No, it's Jesus. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Jesus had a body with flesh and bones. He said so himself. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of grilled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Wow. He didn't have to preach it. All they had to do was poof, the cloud was lifted. Now they understood what they'd been taught all their life, the scriptures that they'd read for how many years. Now it made sense. Because Jesus flipped a switch. When Jesus comes in, he flips switches. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." What you're witnessing is what has been written in the scriptures. Is what Jesus said. "I am the Messiah. I am the Christ, the sent one from God. And now you are to be my witnesses. You are to share the good news with the world." But stay right here in Jerusalem until you were clothed with power from on high, until you receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn as the scripture goes on, get into the book of Acts, that's what Jesus was talking about. Remember, John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water, but one is coming who's mightier than I, who will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit." That's what Jesus was saying. Wait until I baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Now, that's a Reader's Digest condensed version of from that moment of appearing to the 12 and those gathered in his ascension. We'll come back to the ascension later, but I just wanted you to hear the story. And I wanted you to be looking for Jesus. Because he said that when we've done it to the least of these, we've done it to him. He's in the world.
He's in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. He loves to show himself to us. He loves to teach us, to open our minds, to be able to understand. He loves to touch and heal us and provide for us and bless us and to show his love for us. And I just invite each of us to be looking for the Lord and for his blessing, for his acceptance, for his approval, for his encouragement, for his hope, for his peace. It's the first thing he offered them when he saw them. Peace be with you. Just receive everything Jesus has for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we serve a risen Savior, and that he's in the world today, that he walks with us, he talks with us as we go along the way. Father, I pray that we will have spiritual ears and eyes that are open and in tune with you, that recognize you when you come, that recognize your nudges to go and help this person or that, that hear your words of wisdom to resolving some conflict or some issue in life. May we just be in tune with you, Lord Jesus, because we've met you personally. We've experienced your presence personally. And we've been changed because of it. When we walk out these doors tonight, I pray, Lord, that we will have met you in a personal way and will never be the same again. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. I pray in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you with an awesome week. Thank you for coming tonight.